rides his pony down life's lane, searching for the why of all the pain he knows. It'll never be the same.
Hey, Legs.
Hi, Lizzie. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Mind and body. We're back.
We're back in our studio.
The garage.
The garage. We're thinking big.
Take the reins, mister. Please. Please.
Well, today we have a number of things on agenda. And one first is yesterday during our podcast, we had talked about a component manufacturer and couldn't remember the name. And so we looked it up. It's pretty easy because there aren't many component manufacturers of this nature in Chico who does this kind of work. And so his name, the
single
name.
Syllable.
Single syllable. Single syllable. Yes. Yeah, that's an inside joke. So the name of the company is Paul Components. And so since 1988, Paul Price has been making in Chico these very beautiful aluminium made, highest grade aluminium anodized on some components, that means colored, components for mountain biking. I remember his cantilever brakes back when mountain biking was getting started because the big companies didn't have good cantilever brakes, and he did, and they were really, really light. So, you know, and we're going to talk about this in other episodes. And one is bikes that qualify as U.S.-made bikes, made in the USA, that can have that sticker on them and what it means. And we'll address that later. But they are 100% American-made. And they source only the highest-grade aluminum. And they say themselves that their stuff looks weird and that it's an inadvertent aesthetic on the way that they've designed their components, but they're really cool looking. And so so it's a very unique story. And if you go to the website for Paul Components, you should read about his story and how he got started, because it's, you know, it's grassroots. It's DIY, who knew how to machine things. And aluminum is not easy to work with. And he's done a really great job with it. So I suggest you go to the website and look it up.
Nice, thank you. It made me think of something. I was on a school trip to New Zealand. It was a trip that you got to do if you went through this program. And we hiked up a tall hill, I can't think of the name of it, outside of Queenstown. And it was so beautiful. It looks like the Sierras. It's so strikingly beautiful. But there was a portion of the hike that intersected with these mountain bike trails, and the lower part of the hill had a gondola, and so the riders would ride up. You know, it was just, what an ideal thing, right?
Right.
You wouldn't even have to drive up. You just park and then do this gondola, and they were so skilled coming down this mountain. It was amazing. But the thing that I thought of was there was this stand, and it was just full of tools. And it was part of the mountain bike, you know, park. I'm like, what is that? Is that a sculpture? And the way they had all the tools hanging on the stand, it was really beautiful. And so it made me think of, you know, him making these parts that are for a bike, but bikes are very beautiful. And yeah, I think they are art.
They are art. Mm-hmm. You know, they're artisans. And back when it was all steel, they were bending, you know, tubing in like weird chain stays, which is a seat stays, which are the pieces that come off the seat and back wheel. And they thought that, they were made flexi in a way, so it gave you a little bit smoother ride and so forth. Not racing bikes per se, but like touring bikes and so forth. So they were doing things, and there's still people doing it. And I think we saw evidence of that when we were looking up the handmade bicycle show that we're going to go to in Portland, that we talked about yesterday, because people are doing that. And the place you mentioned in Napa.
Yeah, Retro Tech and Inglis, Curtis Inglis has a bike shop in Napa that we'll check out sometime. Back probably 12 years ago, I had a fantasy of getting one of those bikes, planning and getting on the list. I think it took a year back then to get the bike. If you put your deposit down, it could be longer now. It could be shorter. We haven't checked in. But I think I'm not sure what their name is on Instagram, but it's either Inglis, Ingles, or RetroTech. Great. What else you got?
Now, this is completely different than cycling. So we're always looking for things to, come up with on the podcast. And since one of our big things is about the environment and climate and not just spending money because you have it and you just can, but ways to rethink how things are done. I came upon, it just came out, it's a March 4th NPR piece about this new movement of green burials. And I had never heard of this. So I was intrigued. So I listened to it. And then I looked up the transcript to make sure I was hearing all this correctly. So I found it interesting. Lizzie doesn't know anything about it because we don't usually talk about what we're going to present. And then hopefully some of you listening to this will find it really interesting. So a little background. There are there's about 2.4 million funerals a year. And it's a $10 million business. I'm sorry, $20 billion business, and it's growing. And it's expected to increase by 50% over the next couple decades. And we know the traditional ways of burials, in the ground, you have cremation. You also have the mausoleum type. And people have looked at the carbon cost for these different burials. And so, they looked at the fact that there's this carbon footprint that's created by creating the caskets, by creating, the cement for, the cemeteries, and what that equates to a carbon footprint. And it's actually, you say it's not that much, and they figure it out for one burial, it's equivalent to one tank of gas for a car, roughly. And I'm not making these figures up. It's the, NPR would have figured that with the people that they interviewed, and they had people from various cemeteries on the program, they verified that this is correct.
Creating the casket is one tank of gas?
No. The whole, if you have a traditional funeral.
The whole tada.
The whole tada, which okay. is the casket. The
flowers,
digging, the flower, well, the dig, you know, the transporting of everything,
right.
The digging up, the cement, everything. But what we also don't take in consideration is that embalming requires some really harmful chemicals. And I didn't know this, that embalmers are at higher risk of getting cancer and possibly even ALS, known as Lou Gehrig's disease, from these chemicals. And if there's going to be this increase in, deaths and, traditional ways of burials, there's going to be more people needed to do, do this work. So there's a human toll for traditional burials. So then, on a traditional burial, if you don't use a casket and you don't have the cement, etc., basically, what you're going to have is, they put it, a place with sagging soil, but pristine lawn. And so you have to have all of this in place.
May I interrupt you?
Yeah.
You're probably going to get to this, but I think that that's not allowed in many places. And
correct.
The reason I know this is my mom, she from as young as, I can just remember this from being a little girl. that she always says, I just want a pine box. And the discussions over my lifetime of how that usually isn't allowed, and she would get pretty riled up thinking that how can that not be, how can that be that you're not allowed to be buried in a pine box? So,
well, I don't
know. Can you be buried in a pine box?
Well, we're getting to that. See, you knew that, but you already knew that, but we'll get to that. I think you can, but I think there are some rules regarding it. So there's still some things going on.
I can't just throw you in the lawn in the back.
No. Yet. Well, you know, you could, but the ground would probably, you know, cave in with the hole that you'd have to dig.
Sorry for this morbid subject, but
No, and I know. And I was actually sort of, at first, should I bring this up as a topic? But actually, it's informative. We all die. It's a fact of life. And
Legs
so,
asked my permission. I said,
yeah.
Sounds good.
So, and I didn't know this. In 2015, cremation overtook conventional burials. And so they're saying by 2045, the National Funeral Directors Association thinks that 8 out of 10 funerals will be cremations. And the thing is with cremation, it requires furnaces that burn usually natural gas. And so the newer furnaces takes about 2 hours to burn, to do the whole process, because that's getting it up to the temperature, doing what it has to do, and then cooling down. If you don't have the latest and greatest, it takes like 6 hours, up to 6 hours. So there is a carbon emission for that. And, you know, again, it's not much in the whole scheme of things with everything else going on in the world that's worse, but every little bit helps. So the cost for traditional burial roughly right now is $10,000. And then a cremation in 2023, the median cost was $6,280. And if you skip the funeral service, it's about $1,500 to $3,000. So it's just the money involved that people are, you know, having to, you know, save for and come up with to die. So there are now other ways, and that's what we're going to get to. And they're calling them green burials. And so So there's a couple ways of doing it. So the first one is that it's fundamentally a burial of an unembalmed body in a biodegradable container, and as simple as a shroud or a plain pine casket. So that's what they would consider a green burial. And that right now, the ratio between traditional and green burials or funerals is less than 1 in 20. However, cemeteries are reporting an increased demand for them. And so what you're doing is you're saving money and cutting the carbon costs by skipping the fancy casket and the vault, but there's still the cost to open and close a grave and for funeral service, which can range from $1,000 to $5,000 depending on the cemetery. So that's the green version of a burial. Now the green version of cremation is called a water cremation. And what I'm going to do for this episode is not explain what it's about.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Yeah, so what I'm going to say is this. If it interests you, it will be. And really, the energy cost is just to heat the water. Mm-hmm. And the cost is approximately $3,000. Now, there's one more. So they had a woman named Katrina Spade is the founder and CEO of a Seattle-based company called Recompose. And she came up with this idea about thinking about her own death. And she felt, you know, she was thinking about her death, and she felt that cremation was a bit wasteful, and that she felt she had something left in her body that she could somehow give back. So she started this company. And what they do is they lay the body inside a vessel on a bed of wood chips, straw, and alfalfa. Then they lay more material over the body along with some flowers, which is something that loved ones can do, and the body is cocooned inside this vessel. Then once the service is over, the vessel goes to work. And they've determined that the ratio of carbon and nitrogen plus the body is the perfect mixture to make enthusiastic microbial Help me think. Help me here. Oh, but micro.
Microbial.
Oh, thank you. Like, I'm really high and hard just on the aluminum. Yeah, thank you.
Aluminium.
Aluminium. Activity. Then what they do is they rotate the vessels each week, just like you would in your backyard with your compost.
I know what listeners might be thinking. Like,
it's
what
a cute story.
You didn't mention the water, but you're going to town on this.
No,
so okay.
Because it's a really
bad.
No,
it's
no. There's a really
bad,
cute story because
okay.
She told, and I'm
Bring
including
on the
this.
Cute, cause it's still
yeah, yeah. So,
in the for a
and
bit.
So what happens is after a few months, it turns into a cubic yard of soil, which is about the size of an average truck bed. Now, this is why I kept this in here, because there's a few ways of disposing of the soil, and she told a story of how this sister came up with her truck and a trailer. And the people at Recompose helped her load her brother's soil onto this. He had lived in Seattle for much of his life and was an avid gardener. So what they did was they put the soil in there. She went up to Seattle and the sister brought it up to the neighborhood he lived in. And all his friends and neighbors took, 5 gallon buckets of his soil and put it all in their gardens so that they could all, you know, share the gardening experience with him for as long as they're continuing to guard. So I thought it was a really sweet
How
story.
How much does that cost?
So it's still not cheap, but it's still
exactly.
cheaper.
Exactly. It's about probably not even cheaper.
It is. So there's a few things here. So first of all, it's about $5,000 to $7,000 right now. There's a few reasons. One, there's not many companies doing it. And the other thing is it's only available in Washington and Colorado. And so, you know, with efficiency of scale, you would think that as more states and more places are doing it, that it will become less expensive and people will be more willing to do it. There is the option they talked about of actually donating your soil in like land that's designed for conservation. Mm-hmm. You know, so, you know, there's all these options, but nobody has done a whole bunch of studies about it. Mm-hmm. I just thought it was really nice story that there were options for somebody that sort of had a little quirky idea about what they wanted to do after, and you know, it's just one
what
thought
happens
out there.
With the let's just go for it since we're already on such a topic. What happens with the bones and the teeth, and those aren't going to be like you're walking across your lawn and you get the teeth
they don't
stuck
really
in your foot.
So remember, this was like a 10 minute NPR
okay.
thing, and they're trying to so.
They must scoop out the bones. They must.
Yeah,
they, must
I didn't,
do
they didn't really
with
go
the
into that. They were a little bit more graphic regarding
maybe
the green.
Maybe you can report back.
Well, what we can do is just give. Yeah, I can do that if people are interested, or we can just put in the show notes the links to the places where you can read about it. But okay. They didn't go into it. They were mostly, I think, just trying to say there was
what
an alternative.
What appeals to you?
What's that?
What appeals to you for your own burial?
You know what? That's a really good question because I haven't really thought about it. Because I don't, like a lot of people probably, I don't think I'm going to die, which I know I am, so I haven't thought about it. I know.
Well, it helps your loved ones to consider
right.
that.
So I would like to be cremated. What are done with my remains, we still need to discuss and what happens. I know I will say this. My mother was cremated and she asked that her ashes be put into the Pacific Ocean at Stenson Beach. And it sort of has bothered me that I don't have anything left of her. You know, even if I had a thimbleful of her ashes.
Huh.
So it's just a weird thing. You know, I don't want to go someplace like to a mausoleum and put flowers there, what have you, but I have nothing left of my mother. So that's maybe something I got to work out with my therapist. No, but I haven't, you know, figured out what to do. I didn't even know if there was something that didn't, you know, was less, you know, we didn't have to spend a fortune for, but was better for the environment, better in keeping with our, you know, desires and what you and I have agreed on. That's what I would want to do. My yeah. preference is what my loved ones would like, but also what would be good for the climate and so forth.
Yeah, it's interesting. I think.
What would you do?
Well, may I just comment on what you?
Yeah, of course.
The things that you said.
Yeah.
So I wanted to mention the film, The Burial, which is such a wonderful film. You haven't seen that, have you?
No.
So that's with Jamie Foxx and Tommy Lee Jones, where they talk of, it's based on a true story of this big company that's trying to take over the smaller funeral company, and they have this whole scam where they contact these African American churches and get them to sign up for this plan, and they've all spent this money, and then when they go to use the benefit, eventually it's this astronomical amount. It's based on a true story. It's just talks about some of the bad things in the funeral industry. It's a wonderful film. I would highly recommend it. I'd watch it again too if you want to.
I'd love
to
watch that. Yeah.
I don't feel the need to have any piece of I would follow your wishes of what you want to do with your ashes, but it won't include any mandate for me to carry them around.
Not around your neck or anything? Oh my gosh. No, I agree.
I feel like there's a place where we all go, and in my personal belief, because we can't possibly know that, is that it's really everywhere, and something happens that we don't know, and I don't need some physical. Now, to think of it helping the environment, that's a beautiful thought. And that's really interesting. It's nice that it's working. Come here, buddy.
Dale.
It's nice. Come here. Come over here. It's nice that it's
come
looks
here.
Like it's working towards a more environmental way. And that was really, really interesting.
And that people are thinking of it.
Yeah.
You know.
I'm happy with cremation and just completely happy with cremation. And I think some of the contortion, you know, things are evolving and getting better, but you know, I don't need to be, you know, people think, oh, I need to go do that. And so what's the environmental impact of having to go to Colorado or Washington State to have your soil burial, right? Starts to become a little bit, maybe you should just do some good on the planet while you're still here in the time you have left. That would be my suggestion.
Yeah, no, I think cremation, you know, and I'm glad my mother was cremated. I do. And the thing is, I'm not, actually, I've never openly said that, you know, until now, how I felt. It's not that I, what I would do for myself, or want, you know, I would, of course, follow your wishes.
Mm-hmm.
What I want for myself is probably different. I want to be cremated. You're right. I agree with you. We're in the universe, you know.
Mm-hmm.
We spread ourselves throughout the universe, and we're going to continue to do so.
But maybe you said that because, I'm sure it's okay for me to say, that Legs has his most precious dog in the house here. When we moved in together, like, oh, there she is.
But I didn't drive around with her. You know, she always stayed put. But yeah, I know.
Yeah, but it's a beautiful box, and it's meaningful for you. And I respect that. And yeah.
You know, well, you know, if you want to know the truth, I was so torn up when it happened. It's happened so quickly.
Yeah.
I didn't know what to do. In a way, the decisions were made for me.
Yeah.
And so that's something you and I have to talk about, you know, as far as, you know, yeah, it's there, but I forget she's sitting there. I don't talk to her. I don't, you know, say, hey, good morning, Lola, how you doing, or anything like
that.
Well,
we've had different discussions of putting her ashes in places, and
yeah,
yeah.
Well, so
as long as it doesn't become, not you and Lola, but just in general for everyone, something so obsessive, right? And then
no,
there's the movies where the ashes, they're in the airplane, the ashes fly back on their face.
Oh, no.
It's all, and we were watching that other series that we couldn't watch, that Orchid series, and she was going out to sea to get rid of the,
we didn't
finish that, but
that's
for
okay.
Whatever reason.
Yeah.
And we thank you for that.
You're welcome.
Excellent.
Thank you for letting
excellent.
Me.
Most
thank
excellent.
You for just being open to let me present that
yeah,
one.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's fascinating. And what's nice, too, is it is something that we should think about. And whenever you think about the end of, you know, a physical lifetime, it even if you're not needing to make plans right away because of, for whatever reason, it's good to think about. It's that question, what would you do if you knew you were going to live forever, or if you knew you were going to, you know, die in 6 months, what would you do? And putting that in your mind to just kind of prioritize and think, and I think it's good. It's good to think
and,
about.
You know, part of it also was we just started our podcast, and I guess, you know, I've never heard a podcast where somebody in their first week and a half or 2 weeks just brings up funerals. It's something different, right?
So you
I don't know.
Listen to podcasts.
Not that much, but
good job.
You know, so I figured let's just shake things up. You know,
okay, we're shaking things up.
So yeah,
teasing you.
I know you are. Keep at it. I like it.
Well, when we start getting full of ourselves, then I'm going to tease
I just thought it would be a different topic.
Yeah,
than, you know,
it's awesome.
That I knew nothing
I love
about.
And I know, Legs has said how much fun you're having, and it is fun.
Yeah.
And we were visiting my mom yesterday. I won't name names of who was on the screen, but my mom watches a lot of television. And there were two different programs, and one was face cleaning, and the other one was learning how to make different types of eggs, like scrambling over easy. And I said to Legs, I'm like, I think we're a little stressed about whether we're covering anything meaningful as we're watching the face cleaning.
They spent like 20 minutes on how to cook a friggin' egg, you know? It's like, whoa. Yeah.
But, so. Anyway, not to be critical of that, but just to say, you know, we're trying to bring some things that would help us think about living a small footprint.
Correct.
Yeah, and it's the bottom line. And we thought we would just go over, I think we're going to just go through the rest of the full moon ritual questions. The full moon, although this will be coming out after the next full moon, but if you like it, it'll be in the show notes, and you can use the full moon ritual if you want to have a monthly way to connect and go over just questions about, you know, and you don't have to go through all of these each time. So we went through the first four, we went through the first three, and then another episode we talked about the fourth on the list. So the next one is, is there anything you've been forgetting to tell me about? Is there anything you've been forgetting to tell me about?
No. There has in the past, and that's what we've used it for.
Yeah.
But yeah, not
Same
now.
Here.
Yeah.
What I loved that I'm slowly letting go of is blank. And that's a wonderful one because, yeah, we do get busy or we accommodate the other and we just moved in together, so I hope there's not anything, but is there anything that you loved that you're
Everything I loved, it's still going on, and it's all
nice.
Good.
What I love that I want more of is blank. I'm just going to read through these. Is there anything you've been trying to contribute to me that I've been resisting? And that's a really great one. Sometimes someone can... We can tell the story of the dishes. Legs has been doing a lot of dishes because he's wonderful, and we just moved in together a couple weeks ago, and I had to just say, okay, we're taking a break from you doing the dishes. And
I like doing dishes though, but
yeah. I just felt like we need to do it together.
Yeah,
but I would say that this for me is a big one where someone's trying to help you and it's if you're not used to receiving, but it's a good thing to talk through.
I think
through.
It's good for both of us.
Yeah.
You know, because we've been on our own for a really long time.
Independent.
And so we're not used to having people do things for us. And it's really nice though when you do stuff for me. And it even the simple things, I really appreciate it. Always have.
Is there anything we need to handle or decide about together? I don't think it needs the word about in there. How I experienced love by you is when you blank. That's kind of a way to, you know, let someone know that whatever they did, thank you. You felt that was them showing their love. I think that's really nice. When I did blank, I was showing my love for you. And that can be nice just to communicate because it might be something as simple as taking out the trash, right? Or, you know, just the simple things we do in a relationship that show, you know, right, our love for each other.
You know, we're new at this, so anybody out there that's been in a long-term relationship, you know, we communicate really well. And we
most
do
of the time.
Most of the time. You know, we're getting better at it. It's a learning experience. But sometimes, you know, you think, I don't know, I'm going to speak for myself. Sometimes I think you know what I'm thinking, but I actually haven't really said it. I know that sounds stupid, but sometimes it's, you know, it's good to, like, what I like about the full moon ritual is that it's a place where it, you know, you have questions here that get brought up, and then you can discuss them. If you haven't discussed them in the month, because you think you've had that discussion, but you really haven't, it reminds you that you need to have that discussion.
Yeah.
And it keeps the communications
And as
going.
We said when we first presented these, what we usually do is each of us pick a handful that we want to discuss when we have the full moon ritual. So it might be 5 or 6 of these. And usually reading through, if there's one of these that are more substantial, and then some of these are about being grateful, and it's a nice combination. What I appreciate about you right now is blank. What I'm loving about our partnership right now is blank. The thing things I forgot to thank you for is or are blank. And that's really nice. That could be, was I rushing around this month and I just really haven't taken the time to thank you for something.
Yeah.
So thank you for all those dishes you did.
You're welcome. Thank you for asking me not to do them until Sunday. That was great. Took a load off.
The thing or things that is are coming up that you should know about is, and then in parentheses, events, mood, something to alert each other, i.e. the anniversary of the death of a family member, etc. So looking ahead in the coming month and just giving someone a heads up, like, oh, I have this big work project, or if you remember, my dad died this month and I feel like I might need some time. I really like that one. It makes you think personally, like what I might be going through that I need to take care of myself or let my partner know.
Exactly.
What are you letting go of this month and how can I support you? So then you're thinking about your partner. And what are you calling in this month and how can I support you? And we didn't really prepare. We knew we wanted to talk about this, but we talked about, is there anything else? I know one thing we talked about is adding some principles that as we've worked through these things, and maybe we just make them Legs and Lizzie's. And when we first talked about this, we talked about the principle of accepting the gift. We talked about the bicycle horn that we use to take turns talking if we're really in something intense. The other one we use is setting a time to talk rather than in the moment, which is very common. You hear that a lot, you know, take a minute if you need to before you talk about those things. But are there any other full moon ritual type questions you can think of or
no.
Anything else right now?
No, I've always looked forward to it and it's evolved, and now it's different now than it was in the beginning. And I've always looked forward to all of them. And I still remember doing one with you a few months ago when I'm in my car, because, you know, we have this long-distance relationship, and it's raining out, and I got, you know, my phone propped up, and I'm, you know, we're on a Zoom call, and I don't know, it was a really cool thing to go through. And I could feel, you know, the closeness, even though it was coming through, we weren't physically together. It just made me feel closer to you.
Yeah, we always feel happy after we've done it, and I look forward to it. I think one question that I think could be added is something about, are we on the path that we want to be on? You know, like, are we on that kind of, do we need any little adjustments to the sail, you know? And maybe I'm thinking of that because Legs and I are talking about, you know, is the town we want to be in? Do we want to do the slow life somewhere else? And we'll talk more about that in a coming episode or two if we decide to make any changes. But I think what can happen is if you don't think about that, especially in a partnership, then you kind of look up and you're like, whoa, you know, 10 years later, and yeah. maybe there could have been some adjustments that could kind of make things.
Or think of it, you know, yes, we're in a different time frame now, but think of a couple that are still in their midst of their careers, mm-hmm. and one's on one path, and they have all these projects going on, the other one's on a different path, and they're just on their different lanes, and they don't, and instead of syncing up the lanes, they're all doing their individual things, and they're not coming back together, so suddenly they're lost because one person has this trajectory and this other person has another one, but they didn't know where the each one was going. So again, I look at Full Moon Ritual as a way to communicate to your partner. It keeps the open communication going, and it reminds you to just communicate.
I think that's the biggest thing, is rather than waiting and waking up 5 years later and like, whoa, we haven't talked about anything close to these things, and we've had kids and we've been raising the kids, and so it's a beautiful way just to, you know, pick a few of these each month and just keep things close, and we'll bring it up from time to time, and maybe occasionally on some full moon rituals, maybe we, yeah, on some full moons, and that would be nice.
I look forward to it. So,
okay, thank you so much.
Thank you for going through those. I'm glad we got those out there.
Thank you for the green passing information.
You're welcome.
I can see the grass sprouting over the.
Yeah.
Well, one thing I didn't mention is how beautiful all those scenes, whenever you see like a Celtic film or something from, you know, the Middle Ages, where the raft is built and the body's on it, and it's this whole ritual, and it's a cremation and out to sea, and it's very beautiful.
I'd go for that one. That'd be cool.
Okay, signing off.
Take care, everyone. Thank you for listening.
Searching for the why of all the pain he knows. Never be the same.
Thank you for listening to the Legs and Lizzie Punk Farm Love Life podcast. Please subscribe to get notified of new episodes. We'd love to have you as part of the Legs and Lizzie family. It really helps us if you also leave a review.
You can support the podcast by becoming a Legs and Lizzie patron at patreon.com. Just search Legs and Lizzie. You can become a member for as little as $5 a month. Podcast music is by Lizzie's brother, who goes by Squint Todd and the Horse Thieves. See the show notes for links to other things we mentioned.
Be safe and happy until next time.
Do stuff. Make stuff, don't buy stuff.
Peace, punk, plants.
We don't need much, we just need each other.
In the pouring rain. Sometimes he thinks he can feel his pain, he knows. It'll never be the same. Old black dog just tags along and listens while he sings his song. Love is all she knows. So on and on they go. Poor strangers cry. she's insane. Join the party, join the crowd, let the hyenas circling laugh out loud. There ain't no way, Lord knows he had his day. For strangers cry, no wonder why he's bound to drift along. This old world, she goes round and round. Damn little good within it, he has found. She's a sad, sad song. The joke goes on and on. Dust, dust he returns. If it has to happen, let them fire.